Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. It's December. We have only 1 week left of the year, and I can't believe it. But hello, and thank you for joining me on my solo episode as I'm fully wrapping up season 9. I honestly love that I wrap up a season and it corresponds to the end of the year because it honestly feels like closing of a chapter. And it's just a great way for me to reflect on my journey thus far with personal and professional, even though this year has mostly been focusing on personal since I've become a mom. And for those who don't know, this solo episode is usually a great way for me to get in touch with my audience and share the real and raw experiences of what I've been through in 2023. But with that being said, I do have this hesitancy to do so because I feel like it's very selfish and almost ego-driven. So I do want to give a brief overview of kind of, you know, where I'm at right now, where my headspace is, how my mental health is doing, but at the same time, add value because that is the whole point of a podcast. I tend to listen to episodes that I can leave thinking, oh my God, that was such a great way to look at something, or I feel inspired. And of course, there are also the podcasts that are just pure entertainment. And I don't think this one is entertaining in that aspect, which is totally fine. Looking back at this year, I'm so proud of myself due to the fact that, again, this was my year of rebirth, of finding a new identity, which I have spoken about. There has been so many surprises with motherhood. And of course, it's natural because nobody could ever prepare you for being a parent. And this episode isn't about my transition into motherhood. This isn't an episode about, you know, the lessons I've learned, because I know many of you probably aren't parents. So that may not resonate with you. I'm just pointing out that that has been the biggest life change. And with that life change, it has completely made me see the world differently and almost have changed my personality. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, right? And it's just so interesting because while Hunter, my son, is getting to know the world, I almost feel like I'm also getting to know the world in this new chapter, in this new way, which is actually fun, but at the same time can be very confusing and overwhelming. And I have been vulnerable and shared the realities of what I'm going through in the daily stresses of being the default parent. But to be completely honest, and this is probably one of my confessions for this episode, is that I don't want to say downplay the severity of what I was going through, but there have been many moments where I didn't even have the strength or energy or desire to go on social media and write exactly what I was going through. I know during the newborn phase, I reached out saying that I was, you know, hitting rock bottom, but that was because this was all new to me. And I thought that phase would have passed, but I'm 10 months in and I still have moments of feeling overwhelmed. And I've had my personal experiences with anxiety attacks, and I don't throw that lightly. But recently, and when I say recently, I'm talking about within the last week, I've had several anxiety attacks. And I am such an overthinker, but when I'm in those moments, it's almost amplified and to the point where I honestly can't sleep. The other night, I was in bed around 11 p.m. and I was super tired, thinking I would knock out within 20 minutes. I was up to like 3 a.m. And I don't even know what was going on in my head. I felt so frustrated because I would look at the time and realize that, oh my God, I should have been sleeping already, you know? Oh, I need to wake up in 3 hours. And that would frustrate me even more because I was almost blaming myself for not being able to shut my mind. And in the beginning of the year, I gave myself a word of the year and I chose grace. It was a word that honestly wasn't really intentional. I felt like it just called to me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give myself grace. I don't know how this journey is going to be, but however I handle the situations, I want to handle it with grace. And also I want to give myself grace for whatever I'm going through. And that's exactly what I did. That was also a word that kept me grounded because there have been moments of intense frustration, intense, almost like being snappy and moody. And I had to remind myself, okay, you know, handle this with grace, handle this with grace. And then when there were moments when I felt like I wasn't doing enough, wasn't being productive, you know, my career and work took a back seat, but I reminded myself to give myself grace. And that also goes with this podcast. I've actually only had 7 guests and I only had 1 season. But you know what? Even saying that, I'm proud of that. And I should actually take back the word only, because it's not only. I still wanted to continue this podcast. And even though my timeline didn't exactly match up to what I had hoped it would be, you know, I hope that I actually wanted to start the podcast back up maybe in May. That didn't happen until September. And that's okay. Could I have had more guests? Yes. That doesn't mean that each episode wasn't special and each guest wasn't special. And I'm happy that I was able to get what I could have. And I honestly can look back and say I did the best I can. So going off of that, I was thinking, what should my word be for this year? And I wasn't sure. I wanted to be intentional. So I thought, should the word be intentional? And then I thought, you know, what is the feeling that I want to have in 2024? And for me, that's zen. I want to feel zen. So I thought, okay, maybe zen should be my word. But then the word align popped up. And I feel like in order for me to get to a zen state, I need to be aligned. Aligned with my higher self, aligned with my true calling, aligned with patience, aligned with this version of myself that I truly want to be, and to remove that distance. So I am calling it now that my word for 2024 is align. It seems simple, but I also feel like align branches off to creating an identity of who I am. Because another confession is that there have been moments of this year that I am not proud of how I am, of who I was. And I just feel like I want to be a better person. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better partner. I want to be a better friend. And the list goes on and on. But that starts within. I want to prioritize meditation again and wellness and spirituality. All of those things took a backseat with motherhood. And again, I'm not mad about that, because first and foremost, I needed to be present for my son. So I encourage you all to look into your life right now and what word is calling for you. It's such a great activity to do, because in any moment of stress and struggle and difficulty, you can take a deep breath and go back to your word, which should give you a better perspective and a 360 picture of what you want your life to be, because so much can change within a year, right? I mean, think about where you were in January and where you are right now as you're listening to this. I'm sure you've done so much, have seen so much, have felt so much. And that's the beautiful thing about life. And I honestly think it's so weird how we tend to reflect towards the end of the year, but not in the moments or monthly or quarterly. And if you do that, then that's great. I'm talking about myself and just people that I personally know. We don't tend to look at our lives and reflect in a way that I feel like we frequently should. So this is just a reminder to maybe go into 2024 with a mindset of doing self-reflection, even daily. And journaling would be a great way to do that. And I personally, that's one of my personal goals, because I've definitely have forgot to journal. And looking back, I wish I did it more. I think the topic that I really want to focus on is communication and relationships. And by no means am I a relationship expert, but I do think because I wrote a book about New York City dating and it was well received by the public, or at least from what I've read and the feedback that I've personally received, as well as the fact that I'm honestly in the position that I am with my partner, with Hunter, like this whole motherhood journey, I truly believe it would not have existed had I not wrote Unhinge. I spoke about this in a previous episode, but the reason why I met my partner is because of my book. And I don't know if we would have met otherwise. So I do think it's important for me to kind of tie it back in to love, to relationships. And the one thing that I want to talk about is that relationships are hard. And I'm sure you guys are like, of course it is. But when I wrote my book, I was talking about navigating adulting and dating in New York City and kind of all the nuances and feelings that come with it. But now that I'm in a relationship and in a real relationship with real responsibilities, because we have a child, the stakes are just so much higher. And the beautiful part about that is that when you are in a relationship, you get to practice what you preach. All the work and your standards and expectations and everything that you want in a relationship is put to the test. And I want to be vulnerable in this podcast because I feel like that is the only way to truly peel back the layers of what I personally have been through, and hopefully a lot of people can relate. And if my partner is listening to this, I love you. Sometimes he listens to my episodes, so you just never know, but I wanted to preface that. And for full disclosure, we have fought more than we ever did this past year. Not that we've been together for many years, but everything was brought to light considering that we have a child now. And I'm saying this because although I have posted the highlights, and social media is all about highlights, I want to be honest and say there were rough times this year. And there were times where we've yelled at each other and we've been in really big disagreements and there was a lot of tension. And I speak about this because I feel like nobody really sheds light on how their relationship is. And if your relationship is positive and you haven't had any disagreements, then kudos to you. But I also feel like this is just real life. With that being said, what I've learned in having these disagreements is how to communicate. I feel like, and I don't know if it's because I'm this New Yorker, because he's a New Yorker too, but I just have a very direct approach to communication and I say it how it is. And the bad side or the downfall of that is I'm not taking into consideration of my tone and how I can come across, and that can make what I say worse than I intend on. And in my mind, I'm thinking I'm just speaking my truth. But there's definitely a way to handle your approach to conversations, and that is one thing that I'm still working on. I've also learned that having fights is actually a great thing. When you're in the moment, you don't think about that because emotions are heightened and everything just feels like it's on a big screen, on blast. And it's really hard to detach yourself from how you're feeling, let alone communicate them. So what I realized is that when you learn to fight correctly, and calmly, it actually brings you closer to each other. And it's never about who's right and who's wrong, but it's about you and your partner against the problem. Of course, these are things that I felt like I already knew before having disagreements, but I feel like I was able to truly absorb what that meant when we were having these disagreements. And another thing that I've learned is that I will say this time and time again that I am a hopeless romantic. I was and I still am. And love is not really something that you just seek and it finds you. And then once you have it, it's yours forever. Love is work and it's commitment, but most importantly, love is a choice. I think sometimes we forget that you have to put in the work and you have to choose that person every single day. And that's what keeps the engine running. That's what keeps relationships going, despite all the noise and the problems and the things that annoy you. You have to like shut all of that out and say, okay, what really matters, right? Like, is my life better with this person in it? And can we solve all these problems? Am I okay with these problems at hand? And just tackling it together. I think with motherhood and feeling overwhelmed and being the default parent and being also like a working stay-at-home mom, it's just a lot. And it's natural for me to not have all parts of my life together. It's honestly, I feel almost impossible. I mean, people can argue otherwise, but I truly don't believe that you can have every single compartment of your life 100% filled to the top with all your energy poured in. That's just not the case at all. So I'm learning that this is real, and this is obviously the realest relationship I've been in since, again, Hunter is in the picture. In other relationships, if you're not married and you don't have kids, you just have less at stake. And I'm not trying to undervalue those relationships at all, but it is easier to walk away. But when you have other things that are invested that hold a lot of value and significance in your life, you have to work even harder. And looking back now, I'm not proud of how I've handled all of those tough times, but I'm also thankful for them because having fights with your significant other honestly gives you a great view to your blind spots. And triggers are a beautiful thing. They reveal to you what you need to work on that isn't resolved in your life yet. And a lot of the things that I thought I had under control were brought to light. And that's why I went back to therapy. I've always been an advocate for therapy and I still am. But that, going back to what I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, like my self-care took a backseat with motherhood. And now I'm learning as we're gearing up to 2024 in a few days that I'm not going to do that. Like that's a non-negotiable for me. I am going to wake up. I am going to move my body. I am going to journal. I am going to meditate. I am going back to therapy because I realize that that foundation makes me a better partner. It makes me a better mother. An overall better person. And I say this just to be real because I feel like I was going through all this with my partner, and I see other people posting or other people who are in relationships or my friends getting engaged. There was a sense of jealousy.
But I have to go back to what I wrote in my book that, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. You can't do that. And you never know what goes on behind closed doors, because as I'm telling you all that my partner and I have had ugly moments this year, some of you may be shocked to know that, because nobody's going to broadcast that, right? Like, nobody's going to say, like, look, we're fighting, we're disagreeing, we're bumping heads. But that's, it is what it is. That is the real life. Like, it's normal. I'm just also being truthful that we've had more disagreements than I would ever like this to have. And the positive side is, because I always try to look at the positive side, is that I look at my life and this story as a life and love story combined. And what's a story without hitting your lows, right? It can't be all rainbows and butterflies. I feel like this is such a good opportunity for us to, you know, keep going, keep writing our love story. And when we get to the end, we can look back and literally say, like, wow, remember the first year we were together? Remember the second year we were together? We hit, you know, a lot of bumpy roads, but now we learned how to get over those bumps in a way where we're still together and we still love each other. And so I just want to let everybody know that relationships are hard, but it's what you make of it. It's how you approach it. And honestly, it's about reflecting how much work you are willing to put. I guess just wrapping up this episode, it's all to say that the rough patch isn't necessarily over. You know, my business is my business, and I always feel like there is a line of what I want to share and how vulnerable I want to be. I'm definitely an open book, but I'm also not an open book to the point where it's going to be harmful to have, you know, other people's opinions on my life. And I'm sure people already have opinions about my life, to be honest, about just where I am right now. But I don't care. Like, being a mom, you just have this different perspective of the world and priorities, and other people's opinions just don't matter to me. I'm worried about, and I'm focused on my life, my son, and my family. So I will be continuing season 10 next year, and I'm super excited. Hunter was born on the 10th of February, and 10 is just a really special number in my partner and I relationship, because every 10th of the month since we've met, something special has happened. So I'm excited, and I do want to have more guests on. I'm not going to put pressure on myself, but I feel like I'm more excited, and I feel capable of doing two seasons and having guests on and preparing more than I did, just because Hunter will be older, and I feel like I am going to prioritize more of myself and carving out time to do what I love, and having this podcast is definitely one of them. So I just want to thank you all for sticking through. I know I only had a few episodes. Well, not a few, maybe like what, 10 or like 8 this year. But I honestly appreciate everybody who tunes in and listens and give me their time of the day. It's such a blessing. And I hope you all had a great holiday, depending on when you're listening to this, and a happy new year. I encourage you all to reflect on what this year has brought you and give yourself a word to go into 2024. And the last advice I would say is to write yourself a letter. I've done this for the past 3 years. I will, on January 1st, write a letter to myself, and then at the end of the year, I will read it. So as of now that I'm recording, it's not time for me to read my 2023 letter yet. But every time I do, it's so amazing, because I don't touch it and I don't open it for the whole year, and I always forget about it. But then when the end of the year comes, I read it, and it's like special, because you have to remember that whatever age you are right now, your previous ages live within you. So if you're 30, there's a 16-year-old in you. an 8-year-old in you, a 14-year-old in you. And I feel like whenever I write a letter to myself, I'm speaking to them and it's offering me compassion and grace and love and all the warmth that I have been looking for. So definitely give that a go and let me know how you feel when you read it in December of 2024. All right. Be safe. I love you all and have a happy new year, and I will see you in 2024.